I said, well, how can you write about nothing? He said, I don't know, but they do, you know. So they say they want nothing, but then they can't, there is no such thing as nothing, actually. And if they came to eat and you gave them an empty plate, they wouldn't be very happy. Right? You wanted nothing, right? There's a cartoon of the Dalai Lama's birthday, and the box was empty, and he said, ah, just what I've always wanted. You know. Anyway, this song, if I can see it. Kabe habe bolo, se di na na. Aparada duchi, shirana me ruchi. Aparada duchi, shirana me ruchi. Kripa bola habe, vidaye samsara. Hina dika hina, kabe nijamani. Vishnu taguna, nishaye rami. Sakala manada, apaniyamani. Hoye ashpadiva ho namarasa saha. Kabe habe bolo, se di na na. Aparada duchi, shida na me ruchi. Kripa bola habe, vidaye Jana jana ara kori bo sundari. Bole bo na chahi deha sukha kori. Janme janme dao ohe gora hari. Hoy tuki bhakti charana toma. Kabe habe bolo, se di na ma. Aparada duchi, shirana me ruchi. Kripa bola habe, vidaye samsara. Parite Shri Krishna namachara. Pulakiti deho gajada bacha. Bhagwanya bepatta habe sangata. Nirantara netre habe ashuda. Kabinava dipe suraduni tatte. Gora Nityananda Bole Nishkapatte. Gora Nityananda Bole Nishkapatte. Nache Agaiya Badai Bocchute. Vatulera praya chari avicha. Kabe nichananda mora koridora. Kabe nichananda mori koridora. Charaibe more, Vishaya Ramaya. Charaibe more, Vishaya Ramaya. Diya mora nidya charane rachaya Diya mora nidya charane rachaya Name rahate te divyadikara Name rahate te divyadikara Kabe habe bolo se dinama Everybody Kabe habe bolo Se dinama, aparada guchi, shudaname ruchi, ipa bola habe, vidoye sancha, tini bolo tibo, namarasa sa. Ivo Hari Namarasa Namarasa Mate Hoybe Vibasa Rasena Rasika Charana Parasa Koriya Bojibo Namarasa Sa Kabe habe bolo se dinama Aparada guchi shudaname ruchi Kipa bola habe vidoye sanchar Kabe jiba doya koriya Hoy be udoya Kabe jibe doya Hoy be udoya Nija sukha bhuli Shri nari doya Shri nari doya Bhakati vinoda Koriya vinoya Shri Agyatahala Koriya prachara Kabe habe bolo Se dinama Aparada guchi Shudaname ruchi Kipa bola habe Vidoye sancha Couldn't see the words a few times. So, kabe means when. So, this is proper hankering. We want something. It's not that we don't want anything, but we want Krishna, we want desires. We have so many desires. Most of them are not necessary for even material life. So we have to, not that we want no desires, because then we, what would you do then? You know, but we want spiritual desires. So ultimately we want Krishna. So here is what we want. When will that day be mine? Aparada guchi, when the offenses are ceasing. Every day we chant these offenses to the holy name. And the idea is to avoid them, not to just know them, but you know, to think about it. And it's a full-time process, not only while we're chanting. Because normally we may not offend devotees, for instance, while we're chanting, or make interpretations. But other times of the day we may make a lot of offenses due to the nature of Kali Yuga. So aparada guchi, then shudaname ruchi, then the taste for the pure name comes. It goes together. If we find ourselves losing our taste for the holy name, then we might think that perhaps there's some offense we've made, because that is the immediate reaction. If we especially offending devotees, then the taste for the holy name decreases. Find it quite difficult to pronounce. So many other things have to come out. So like I said, it goes along with the Shishastak. The first one is like Trinadapi Sunichena, we heard this morning. Considering myself lower than a blade of grass, bringing the quality of forbearance into my heart, showing respect to all, myself being freed from all false pride, when will I taste the essence of the liquid nectar of the holy name? He's still hankering. When? He's not bragging that I have it. So that humility we heard very nicely this morning, and that is the most important thing that Krishna wants of us. So Lord Chaitanya gave that instruction, and Krishnadas Kaviraj said we should wear that around our neck. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororapi Sishnuna, Amani Na Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. That's Amani Na Manadena, offering all respect to everyone and not expecting anything in return. That's a very advanced, think about it. Most everything anybody does is, you know, what will I get for this? You know, but the most advanced devotee is respecting everyone because he feels himself humble. We heard yesterday, and the day before yesterday, Prahladananda Swami was speaking in Tirupati, how, you know, the most yoga in every other process, even yoga is like the more, you know, what's sophisticated or subtle, but you want to become bigger. You want to become richer, you want to become stronger, you want to become more beautiful, you want to become mystic powers, you know, you want to know everything, Jnani Yoga, right? You want to do many good things. But the Vaishnava is trying to become smaller, trying to understand that we're an infinitesimal, you know, an atom at the lotus feet, the Ayinanda Tanuja Kinkaram, right? Let me, you know, just be dust, an atom at the lotus feet of the Lord, not trying to become some great person, some great whatever. There's so many yajnas one can do to become a demigod or to become even Lord Brahma. It takes a long time, but that's not what a Vaishnava is striving. Just become a servant, respecting everybody. That's covered more and more of these verses as it goes on. Then next one is the same as Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. Bhaktivinoda Thakur pioneered this, putting the Vedic Sanskrit things into very, very simple local language, Bengali language. So you'll go, if you go around Bengal and if you just start singing any song of Bhaktivinoda, oh, everybody knows it, at least around Mayapur. They're familiar, popular songs, but with the pure message of the Vedas. That's a special art. So he's asking, give me unmotivated devotional service, life after life. Unmotivated means material motivated. We have to be motivated, but we should be motivated to please Krishna, please the Spirit, to carry out the order, to surrender, to be all these good qualities, not materially motivated. There's so many famous motivational speakers now. And they have good techniques, you know, how to get things done, but what they promise you can get done is just material advancement. You can get rich, you can get, well, mostly rich. Whatever else you become expert at, then you can become rich because of it, right? If it's sports or music or politics or anything, business especially, usually it's for business, but, you know, you can get rich, and when you get rich, then you won't have any problems, right? If you get sick, you can fly anywhere in the world to the best hospital. If you get hungry, you can order whatever food you want from anywhere in the world. You can fly off to get any kind of other kinds of, you know, more gross sense gratification you want. That's what rich people do. And they're not happy with it. Ambarish Prabhu once was with Vadi Narayan, and somebody was saying something that money can't make you happy. Have you heard that one? So Ambarish said, poor people hope that that's true. Rich people know it's true. In fact, he said that when he brought his mother's ashes to Mayapur and he gave class, and he said he had to thank his mother for helping him and inspiring him towards spiritual life. And he said it wasn't because she was at all spiritual. But she was, you know, one of the richest ladies in the world, but she was always miserable. So because of observing her, he understood that there's got to be something else, you know, that this is not the all in all. And I don't know, I had a similar experience. They weren't that rich, but could certainly see that it wasn't making them happy. Couldn't find anybody. Happiness, you don't have to be poor. Being poor won't make you happy either, but you have to be Krishna conscious. Some people think like that, okay, just become poor. That also, if someone is too much poor, then they'll lose all good qualities and have a very hard time because they can't get anything they want, sometimes not even proper food. So then it gets more... Then Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram. When will, you know, by articulating the divine name of Sri Krishna, will my body be thrilled in ecstatic rapture and my words be choked up with emotion? When will pallor and ecstatic trembling occur, and when will streams of tears flow constantly from my eyes? There's a lot of things to be wanting, a very advanced condition, of course. But we should, you know, they say in sports, raise the bar, you know, don't keep things too easy. You have to take, there has to be challenges. So we should set, you know, these spiritual goals. We should know, how great devotees are. We sing every morning, you know, the guru has all these ecstatic symptoms. He's always engaged in the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu Kirtanya Nichagita, Badi Chamadya Manasura Sena, Romancha Kampas Rutarangabad, hairs are standing on end, and all these things. By articulating the holy name, articulating means, right, saying it very carefully. Jai Pataka Maharaj, some time ago, but I noted, I said, you're speaking very, very clearly, you know, it was after he said, my teacher told me I had to articulate very carefully. So that's a good, we should always do that whenever we're speaking, but especially when we're chanting the holy name. Krishna, Rama, Hare, is a simple, you know, two-syllable names, but pronounce them carefully, and then we get more benefit. We might have to wait a long time for all these kind of symptoms to come, but we can pray to get attached. Aparada Gucci Shudaname Ruchi. If we can reduce the offenses, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains in Namachintamani that inoffensive chanting produces all the other offenses. So we could think that attentive chanting will reduce the other offenses. And concentrate on that. Concentrate on attentive chanting, just like anything else. If we drive attentively, and we don't have to worry about the police or something, driving the car or the motorbike, follow the rules, pay attention to what you're doing, otherwise in danger. Then I like this one. Kavi Navadvipa Suraduti Tuni. When in the land of Navadvip, dancing along the Ganges bank, will I run around guilelessly chanting Gaura Nityananda, Gaura Nityananda? Who knows what guile means? guile? Guilelessly? What does guile mean, Professor? It means...
Guileless would mean without concern, without self-consciousness.
Yeah, and without, you know, deceit.
Yes.
Means not being deceitful, duplicitous, but really just chanting Gaur Nitya and not caring about anything else. Oh Gaur, oh Nityananda, dancing and singing like a madman, giving up all other considerations. When or when will that day be mine? That's it. You know, just... This is Śrīla Bhaktivinoda who's writing. He was a big man and, you know, material calculation, and big magistrate. You know, he was even the, you know, in charge of the temple in Jagannath Puri. So many things, but he was only hankering to be totally give up everything and just be dancing and chanting the holy name of the Lord. And Kabi Nityananda Murakoridoya. Chariva More Vishayara Maya. When will Lord Nityananda be merciful and release me from the illusion of worldliness? As Lord Nityananda, when we take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, we get out of Maya. And Lord Nityananda is especially merciful. We know everybody's heard many times about Jagai and Madai. But his whole mood was totally merciful to everyone, simply going and chanting at every doorstep and asking everyone, just chant Hare Krishna. Bolo Krishna, Bhaji Krishna, Koto Krishna Shika. Chant Krishna and worship Krishna and take instruction from Krishna. In other words, Bhagavad Gita. Associate with devotees, you know, learn how to live your life according to what Krishna wants. This is, you know, everybody is living their life according to what somebody wants. Sometimes it's totally imaginary that, you know, sometimes they have a particular, you know, when we're very young, the parents tell you do this, don't do that, and pretty much you have to try for it. Later it's school and it's work. You know, our wife, children come, then they tell you what you have to live. But it has to be under Krishna's direction, under regulation. Everything else we do, but Krishna gives the knowledge, you know, how we can do so that whatever we're doing, we can progress towards these higher goals. So we want the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Then we get out of Maya. He takes us out. Then... Namarahatete Divyadikar. Then we can enter the marketplace of the holy name and take up the buying and selling of the holy name. Right? Especially distributing it, but this marketplace is Nityananda, I guess, made that first idea that was over there in Surabhi Kunj. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like, described the whole system of the Namahatta, the marketplace of the holy name. If you travel around Bengal, we have so many Namahatta groups and Orissa, hundreds of them. And when we went on the safari on the Ganga, you know, always there's a group chanting, waiting for us everywhere. I mean, and it's spread by this system. Salesmen go out and they try to get someone to take up chanting the holy name. The only price is to have faith in the holy name. You don't have to pay any money. And the more faith we have, the more we get the holy name. He gives a whole system there. If you give half faith, you get half holy name. If you give 100% faith, you get Krishna, 100%. And if you give imitation faith, make a show, then you get imitation Krishna. Then you won't be happy. We see some people, they make a big show, they come and it seems like they're really good, and then all of a sudden they're gone. Because they didn't get Krishna, and they were just making a show. Like that snake charmer with Haridas Thakur. The snake charmer was singing some Krishna Leela And Haridas Thakur became so enamored by it, he just started dancing in ecstasy, and he crying, and he fell on the ground unconscious. And everybody was honoring him, and the snake charmer, you know, stopped his show for a while, you know, and everybody was honoring Haridas Thakur. So there was one Brahmana there watching, and he thought, you know, look at this, this low-class guy is getting honored. If I do the same thing he did, and I'm a Brahmana, then definitely everybody will honor me. So the snake charmer, Haridas went away, and the snake charmer was singing again, and this guy started howling and rolling on the ground, and, you know, and the snake charmer got up and just beat him. Just, the guy had to run away, and the people said, why, you know, Haridas Thakur, he honored him so much. And he said, because he was genuine, he really was in ecstasy of the holy name, he wasn't pretending anything, he was guileless. But this guy was a complete fake, he was just trying to get honor, trying to get recognition, trying to have everybody worship him. So I chased him away. So that's what will happen if imitation faith and imitation Krishna. So we go step by step, whatever level we're at, and Krishna will keep us going. Then, this is a nice one, but I shall buy and plunder the mellows of the name of Hari, and becoming thoroughly intoxicated by these liquid mellows of the holy name, I shall become stunned. By touching the feet of those great souls who are able to relish these mellows, I will constantly be immersed in the sweet nectar of the holy name. So that means after we get Lord Nityananda's mercy and we can enter the marketplace, then we should, you know, they said if love of God is available, Rupa Goswami said, in the market, pay any price, you know, and it is available. The price is just to surrender everything to Krishna and give up the false ego, give up all kinds of false pride, and simply beg, you know, for service to Krishna, beg for the holy name. So it's nice to have so many devotees here that are all busy in the marketplace of the holy name, distributing the holy name in so many ways, by kirtan, by books, by prasadam, you know, in any way that we can promote the holy name. I wish we could do much more. I don't know if you've ever been to Ghana, West Africa? No. So there's two telephone carriers there, Vodafone and MTN. So they have done their advertising. They go to buildings, they find a halfway decent building along the road, and they paint it red and Vodafone, and then yellow, MTN. And it's amazing, you drive down the road, and, you know, any building that has enough space that's, you know, it's either red or yellow. if we could do that, you see, because they tell people, if we can put Vodafone on your building, we'll paint it for free. So they paint it with first-class paint, you know, that will last a really long time, that people could never afford to do that. And then that's what Coca-Cola did in America, their first campaign. They went in all the countryside, and, you know, they have barns where they keep the animals, and they painted it Coca-Cola. Sometimes you can still see all faded out on a really old barn if you're traveling across America, Coca-Cola. So they spread it all over the place. I think if we could put Hare Krishna like that, you know. It takes some funding, but, you know, I think it would be a good use of it. To spread the holy name, anyway, whatever way we can do it, we just go out chanting, we just keep people a card that says Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. I met a guy on the airplane once. I was going to Africa, and generally nobody pays any attention to me, and they're all absorbed in buying duty-free things, you know. And one guy was so friendly, started telling me all about his life and, you know, where he lived. And he's from Ghana, but he's living in New Jersey or something. And then he helped me get my bag down. And he said, I met a devotee 20 years ago, and he gave me this card with this prayer on it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he said, I still have that. And whenever I feel distressed, then I pray Hare Krishna. So I said, very good. And you can do it even when you're not distressed. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know. Suki Duki Bulinaka, right? Harinama. Chant the holy name. Whether you're happy or sad, doesn't matter. Any condition. You're a householder, you're a sannyasi, you're young, you're old, you're sick, you're healthy. What else can you do except chant the holy name? Right? What else is ultimately valuable? So this song and many of his songs, they're in this line. Hankering. What do we want? You know, if, you know, well, you don't have that Santa Claus here, I guess. Right? So when we were kids, they had Santa Claus, you know. So they start, the Santa Claus is their version of the Super Soul. So they had that song, you know, he knows when you are sleeping, he knows when you are awake, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. So a few months before Christmas, they start drilling that into the kids, you know. And you better be good, because, and then you write down all the things he wants. And you write a letter to him. Or you go in the department store and they have a homeless guy dressed up and they have a huge Vyasasan. Remember? And you sit on his lap. What do you want for Christmas? Well, I want, you know, a new bicycle and I want this and that. In those days we didn't have all the computer games. Okay, have you been a good boy? You know, oh yeah. So they say, if you are not good, you're not going to get anything. So Santa's not going to give you anything. So that way they try to coerce us into being good. But an interesting story in England a few years ago, one school teacher in an elementary school, she told his class that there's not really Santa Claus. It's just your mother and father. They just come and put stuff under the tree and stuff. And she got fired. It was a huge thing all over the country. In the newspaper, how could she be so cruel to tell these kids there's no Santa Claus? You know, they believe in this thing. But the atheists are publicly broadcasting atheism everywhere. In England, you can say your religion is atheism. You know, when they ask you, what is your religion? You can say atheism. Jai Radhana Swami Ki Jai. But nobody cares if they say there's no God. See, this is the Kali Yuga. So we want to, you know, get a grip here in India. Of course, much more pious. Yesterday we walked up to the top of that Tirupati, and it was amazing. You know, we started it before 5 o'clock. There were so many people just rushing, you know, breaking coconuts and getting ready to go. And the stairways, you can hardly, you know, if you can't walk faster than everybody else, we couldn't walk much faster anyway, but there's so many people all day long, it's like that, just rushing, you know. I think, what a country, you know, that there's still that type of piety. They want to get up and get a darshan, they want to see the Lord, who, and maybe their motive is not totally spiritual, but at least they believe in Krishna. Then they have a sign like, you know, this is generally for Hindus, but a non-Hindu, all you have to do is sign that I believe that Balaji is the Supreme Lord, then you can... Well, that's pretty nice, you know. The first time I went, we got to that booth, you know, and the one guy said, you have to sign, the other one said, no, they're all right. They don't know. ISKCON people are all right, they don't. So what is a Hindu, you know? So they were considered, you know, a Hindu, I guess they think means Indian or something. But anyway, beg, borrow, or steal, but get the holy name. Now, don't be like Charvak Muni. Beg, borrow, or steal, but get ghee. In other words, you have to gratify your senses. That's the goal of life, and do anything. If you don't have money, and you know, because at that time, ghee was meant sense gratification. Now there's many other things, but beg, borrow, or steal, and get it, because then you can be happy. This is completely insane. But the holy name, you know, you can hang around people that have a taste. You can beg it, please, you know, let's have kirtan. You can join the kirtan. You can go out and tell. The more we tell other people about the holy name, the more we'll get also. The more you give, the more you get. It applies to anything, but in the case of the holy name, in case of the Bhagavad Gita, the more we give it, the more we'll get it, the more Krishna will let us understand it, enter into it. Then we can, the topmost prayer here, which I think kind of goes along with Radharani's, Lord Chaitanya's last prayer, Aslishyava, Padaratam, Panashtamam. I don't know anyone except Krishna as my Lord. It doesn't matter how he treats me. So Bhaktivinoda is saying, Kabe Jibi Doya, when will that day be mine? When will I have compassion for all living entities, all jivas? That's a very, you know, essential thing. It's actually a natural quality of the soul. But in the Kali Yuga, many times it's covered over. When I was young, they had all kinds of mottos. Look out for number one. You know, like, I mean, you're first. Take care of yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. You know, you're the center of the universe. But compassion for all living entities. When will that awake? And when will I forget? When will this Bhakti Vinod, forgetting his own happiness, Nija Sukha Bhuli, forgetting all concern whether this will make me happy or not? But of course, it will automatically make us happy. But that's the gopis. They want to serve Krishna, but they don't want anything in return. But it's impossible to give Krishna anything without getting anything in return. Krishna's not like me, that I'll just keep taking more and more and say, can you give any more? No. Krishna, he reciprocates. He's grateful. And whatever anyone gives Krishna, he feels very much obliged to give back much more. Prabhupada said his father told him, you can give to God with two hands, but he give back with 10 hands. Of course, you can take from Krishna with two hands, and he can take back also much more than you can take from him. So the idea is to want to give, but compassion for all, that's the Sankirtan movement. That's Prabhupada was totally compassionate. I understood that when I was in America right after that Hurricane Katrina. At least that was my realization. Everywhere was people gearing up to help the victims, the whole country. Even the whole world, you know, doctors were flying in from Israel and money was coming and you know, for a few weeks anyway, it was very intense. And children were out collecting donations and they were motivated because it's natural when there's a catastrophe. Prabhupada, and I was thinking, Prabhupada, he saw it was always a catastrophe. You know, so everybody's suffering, everybody's, you know, going to Yamaraj. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, ahoya, yamalaya. They don't know. Everyone has died, and everyone's gone to Yamaraj, but they're thinking, not me. I got to make everything nice here and stay forever. You know, very unfortunate. So he understood that. So he was so much intensely absorbed in giving us all Krishna consciousness, without considering any, you know, for his own comfort. 70 years old, with no money, going to an unknown land of Malechas, you know. They said this, I don't know why that ever came, but a sannyasi is not supposed to cross the ocean, or maybe it was even a Hindu. One reporter on the radio asked Prabhupada, very early time, I don't know how he knew that. Sometimes they research about, you know, before they interview someone. He said, isn't it supposed to be that a sannyasi is not supposed to cross the ocean? What about you? Prabhupada said, Krishna knew I was coming. He said, Lord Chaitanya said, Prithivite yate yata, Nagaradi gram. He knew I was coming, he said. Every town and village, not just, you know, Bengal or not just India, but the whole world. So when will this be mine? Kabe habi, kabe jibi doya. most important thing, to have compassion. So what can we do for people? You know, of course, we have our school lunch program. That's nice. It's prasada. Then it's transcendental. And then that helps us to have more facility to give the holy name, to give Bhagavad Gita, to help, really help people to wake up to their spiritual identity, to know who they are. You know, people are bewildered. They're in the dark. And yesterday we were coming from the airport, and Brahmachari said the hoardings are getting worse and worse. I was noticing that too, unfortunately. But definitely changing. But I thought it was a good example of Kali Yuga, because when I first came to Bombay in 1975, the hoardings were almost all just cinema, not even cigarettes, you know, and there weren't that many of them. But nobody was joining our movement either. They were happy. They had a reasonably nice life, you know, sort of mode of goodness. You know, they took a lot of sweets at a wedding or something. Now that the Kali is coming on so strong and the degradation is so intense that, you know, people that have piety, good nature, they can't socialize anymore. And so then they're coming. And so now we see all over India so many devotees. It's every temple is, you know, you can't build a big enough temple anymore. Even if you had the space and the money to get everybody in, and more people are coming, they want Bhagavad Gita's. So it goes together, I guess. It is Kali Yuga, the downside gets worse and worse. That pushes us also to more realize we have to surrender to Krishna, that it's a very dangerous place. So we're very fortunate, actually. That's a special mercy of Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, it's special mercy that Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha. But simply by the kirtan of Krishna, we can get the Mukta Sangha, the Parambhaje, the best liberation. Not just liberation, but be a devotee. That's what that means. That's real liberation. So he's saying that. When will I... Then I can, with a meek heart, I mean in a humble state of mind, blessed are the meek. You know, the Bible says, because they will inherit the earth and be humble. I'm a servant of God, and go out and preach the sublime message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have many desires, like I said, but many we have to ignore them. But we can't just negate everything. We have to develop these real proper desires, hankering, lamenting, like many songs of Bhaktivinoda Nartam also, lamenting, I've wasted my life. I haven't worshipped Hari, you know, Radha and Krishna. Bhaktivinoda says, here I'm at the end of my life, and now please, you know, take me. I wasted so much time in scholarship and business and family and this and that. That kind of lamentation is all right. Not lamenting that I didn't, you know, get some big position in the material world or didn't get rich enough or I wasn't born beautiful or talented or anything. We're stuck with that. But wanting Krishna, when will that day be mine? When, you know, offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing. When in my heart will this mercy come? By that effort, we get the mercy. By serving devotees, chanting the holy name. Here we have a lot of opportunity to serve devotees. Great fortune that there's more and more devotees. Some places there's not so many devotees yet, but all over the world, there's more and more devotees coming, more and more people getting Bhagavad Gita. The holy name Krishna is becoming more well known. India is becoming a famous tourist spot, but unfortunately, most of them are coming for Bollywood. So we have to help them. We went to the Indian festival in Japan recently, and the stage show was on. It was all Japanese girls, you know, doing Bollywood dance. You know, they like India, India. They don't know what India is, so we had to tell them. We have to give people Bhagavad Gita. We have to teach them, you know, the Swami step. And really be happy. They want India for some reason. India is attractive, you know. But now this version of India that's being propagated is not the real thing. So we want to let people know. That's why we have so many books. And I noticed your pile of books mountain outside, right? You saw that? Right outside, they piled all the books for the marathon up. Right? I remember years ago when I first heard about that Mataji Radhika came, and she was fairly new. She said, "What is that?" So they told her, "We're going to try to distribute all these books." And she said, "Well, can I try?" And then she became the world's biggest book distributor. So it's a nice way to... And I told them to do that in Japan, just fill up the temple room. That's what I did the first time I went on traveling Sankirtan. The van was completely full, and the devotee said, "Well, we're going to sleep." I said, "Sell the books, and then you can sleep." And Prabhupada said to do that, actually. At the time I hadn't heard that, but he inspired me the same. But Prabhupada said, "Fill up the temple with books, and when they complain there's no place to sleep, tell them sell the books, and they can..." And you can sleep. This is our, you know, real compassion, to give the holy name and give Krishna to everybody. And then, of course, all the other things go with it, taking care of feeding and shelter and all that, but with the holy name, with the Bhagavad Gita. So I want to thank you all for letting me come here. And it's always very enlivening to see so many devotees. When I was in Bombay, I was in Juhu in 78. And the American Embassy came every month to check everybody's visa. You know, there was only two or three Indian, and there was only like 30 or so others. But things have changed now. And there's so many devotees, and they're all doing so much preaching. But there's no limit how many people are still waiting to get the nectar of the holy name, to get the association of devotees, to get prasadam, to get the Bhagavad Gita especially. So thank you very much. Pray for other countries also, you know, that everybody... Yeah. We had... In Africa, I've been crying and complaining for years. We don't have any books. And very hard to get money, but somehow or other... I saved up quite a bit. A few people came through at the last minute, so we got a big shipment. And then one devotee came from America. He came for the Rath Yatra. He'd never been there before, but some devotees from Ghana were in his temple. So he was curious, you know, what kind of place it is. And there was Rath Yatra. And he's a temple president. He's a doctor. And he goes in door to door and distributes books. So he asked for some books. We didn't have much there at the time. And he was talking to people, and he saw these people are very nice. You know, they want the books, but they don't have any money. So he said that from now on, as many books as they can distribute, he will give them. So that's like an amazing thing. And Lord Chaitanya's, you know, started to believe in all these things again. But sometimes we have to wait a long time. We have to be patient. You know, the results come. Some results come quick. Some take a long time. But Krishna is always happy if we just keep making an effort, you know, to do what we have to do. Like Prabhupada for years, no apparent results. Preaching in India, small donations and, you know, a little encouragement. In America also for 1 year. He was thinking he would go check the boat schedule when it's going back, thinking, you know, maybe I'll go back. Then he would check the schedule and say, "No, I'll stay." Fortunately for us, And then all of a sudden, you know, people came and things happened, and in a few years he had many temples. And in only 10 years preaching, there was 108 temples in the world. Now there's, I don't know, 500 or something. Nobody knows how many Hare Krishnas there are. Prabhupada said millions from the very beginning. But he understood everybody's really a devotee. So thank you very much again, and sorry if I went over time. I don't know what the timing is. But when you get an audience who seems to like to hear, then it's easy to talk. Sometimes it's very hard, you know. Or, you know, the children are all yelling and screaming, and everybody's talking to each other, and they say, please give a lecture, Maharaj. Sorry, but it's a little hard. You know. Turn on the TV or something. Okay, so now we have Shesha Prabhu. Shesha Prabhu is not only involved in education, he's a minister of education and very, very influential in the ISKCON's educational development and all different levels. Right? Yeah. He's also a lawyer if you have any problems. Have any legal problems?
We create the problems.
You need a visa for America. He specializes in that.
No, as lawyers, we create the problems. So first I would like to offer some thanks to His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj. Thanks that's long, long overdue. I'm not sure he knows, maybe I spoke with him at some time in the past, but when I was first coming to Krishna consciousness, actually, His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj had a lot to do with that. Okay. See, he doesn't know because it's part of the book distribution, but it's the long-range effect of book distribution. Many years ago, I think it was in 1973, there was a Back to Godhead article about how you could be a devotee of Krishna. And it was actually an article about Kavichandra Maharaj in his previous ashram, the Grihastha ashram, and it was a very nice article, very attractive to me, about how families can come to Krishna consciousness and progress very nicely in spiritual life. And so when I read that article, I thought, okay, that does it, you know, this is for me. It pushed me over the edge, as we say in America, of actually joining the Krishna consciousness movement. So I want to extend that belated thanks 40 years later.
I didn't make the article.
You didn't make the article, but it's the person. It was you as a person, and that article sort of embodies the preaching spirit you were giving us here today, so thank you for that.
Wow. All right. Glad it had some value. Because I was normally going on book distribution every evening, and they made me come and take pictures, and the whole time I just felt like, oh, this is really sinful, what I'm not.
Well, at least it helped me to decide to join the temple, so thank you. Actually, I appreciated so much what you were saying about the holy name, first of all, and then about spreading the holy name. This is very, very central for our spiritual lives and the spiritual lives of so many others. When we think about the sacrifice made by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada in coming to, and first of all, in leaving Vrindavan. Vrindavan is, as His Holiness Radhanath Swami was speaking this morning, Vrindavan is a very, very special place. And to see Vrindavan and to enter into Vrindavan, as he was describing that Lord Brahma got the privilege to do only after a whole complicated leela, did he get to actually enter into Vrindavan and see it. Well, Srila Prabhupada was there. He was seeing it. He was experiencing it. What is Vrindavan? But he left that place. He left that place and came to America to give Krishna consciousness to not only the Americans, but the whole world. He had tried in India. People weren't so interested. Maharaj told us. People weren't so interested for one reason or another. So he thought, well, let me go there, and if they take it, then because India, they're copying everything that the Americans want, then they'll also take this, even though it's theirs to give to the world. So this is a very, very important aspect of the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service runs on two tracks. This is Bhagavati Marg, which is chanting the holy name, absorbing oneself, and the type of bhajan that Kavichandra Maharaj explained to us. Preaching the holy name, as exemplified by Srila Prabhupada and his dedicated disciples and followers. This is the Bhagavati Vidhi. But the process of devotional service runs on two tracks, Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatika Vidhi. So I wanted to speak a little bit about that other track this evening, the Pancharatika Vidhi. And primarily because, as Kavichandra Maharaj mentioned, we are just in Tirupati for the last couple of weeks. We had some GBC meetings there. And so everyone knows Tirupati, Tirumala. You go there, and the big attraction is what? What's the big attraction there? Balaji. Darshan of Balaji. Does anybody ever go to Tirupati, Tirumala and not have darshan of Balaji? Practically speaking, it's like, you wouldn't think like that. You'd think, well, I'm going there, I have to have darshan. Someone will let me get darshan. And so, deity worship. Very exemplary deity worship there. And so, deity worship is this Pancharatrika Vidhi. It's very helpful for one advancing in Krishna consciousness. These two tracks have to go together. So I've been thinking about this whole idea about darshan. We had special darshan there, Maharaj has described. His Grace Revati Raman Prabhu, the temple president, the ISKCON Tirupati. He worked for 1 month to get a special darshan for different groups, 30 devotees every day. Very, very difficult to get special darshan for that large group of people. And so, as Maharaj described, we got special darshan, all the GBC members from around the world, but we had to go through this process, as he described, to go to the non-Hindu. First of all, we had to go to the non-Hindu gate. I guess it's just humiliating. You're trying to humiliate us as part of making us humble. So we had to go to the non-Hindu entrance. And we had to sign this book. Devotees from all over the world there. And we had to sign this book. That what was your former religion? You know, it's like confession, you know. I was formerly a Christian, but now I accept Balaji. So we had to shed ourselves of all these previous designations just to get the special darshan. You know, a lot of people go to Tirupati, Tirumala, the sea, Balaji, and the assumption is that by my own endeavor, either walking up the hill or driving up in a fancy car and paying a lot of money for special darshan, that by my endeavor, I'll get darshan. I shall see Balaji. But it doesn't really work that way. We cannot demand darshan from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if we can demand darshan, why are we taking that darshan? Because we are superior to the one we're demanding from. If we demand, I can have darshan by paying money or by walking up the hill doing austerity, that guarantees me darshan, then we are putting ourselves superior to that person that we're having darshan from. So therefore it's good that they humbled us, we humble ourselves. On the way here yesterday, I was traveling with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and he was explaining to me how humility runs through the life, so strongly through the life of Ramanujacharya. Indeed, Ramanujacharya, he approached Balaji so humbly that he crawled up the hill because he didn't want to put his feet on the hill to go up there. So he crawled on his elbows and knees to have darshan. So we have to take this humble position if we're actually going to get darshan. And I'm going to tell you a little story that happened to me there. Despite all the efforts of Revati Raman Prabhu to get us a special darshan, I imagine he had to pay so much, pull so many political strings to arrange it. And he told me that my name was right on the top of the list of the devotees that were supposed to get the darshan. So as we sat in the queue complex waiting for our turn to enter specially and go directly to have darshan, one devotee there approached me and he said that everyone is going, but you have to stay back here. I said, what? Why me? Why am I being singled out? He said, no. And I just tried to brush him off and go with the other devotees. No, you have to stay here. You stay here. So these are all my GBC God brothers. They all went and I had to stay back. And not only was I humbled, I had to write my former religion, the Christian, three times on the paper. But now, I was segregated even from my GBC God brothers. They were going to have darshan, and I couldn't. I was standing there. So I had this sinking feeling in my heart that, what have I done? What have I done that has displeased Balaji so much that I'm being denied, the darshan in the company of my God brothers? And I had to sit and think about that for some time because it was about a half hour, 30 minutes before the next events began to unfold in this. I thought, well, they're going enjoying the special darshan. Will I get any darshan at all? I've come all this way, decided to attend these meetings, which I wasn't so excited about, but because it was in Tirupati, I thought, I'll go and have darshan. At least that's the benefit I'll get. So I had to think about that. I had to meditate on that for about 30 minutes before we did get the chance, and I did get a chance to go through, and I did get the merciful darshan of Balaji. But it made me think that it's not such a cheap thing. It's not such an easy thing. All arrangements can be made. You can pay special darshan fee, but you can be denied. You can be denied darshan of Balaji. because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we cannot bring him under our control. We are his servants. We serve at his pleasure. And if he decides to give us darshan, fine. If he says you can't have darshan, we also have to accept that. We have to accept that. Otherwise, what is the use of darshan at all? The lesson I learned from that experience is that actually Balaji is all kind to all people at all times. How we receive the darshan, or what trouble we may take or be given in obtaining that darshan, is all mercy. And here's what I concluded about that experience for me. If I was able to fly to Tirupati, rely on our very wonderful ISKCON devotees there to arrange special darshan, and for me to just breeze through past people who walked up the hill, people who stood in the queue for up to 8 hours to get darshan, if I was able to do all that, how much would I really appreciate the fact that I was getting darshan? How much would I really appreciate the worth of that darshan? But the value of what happened to me was that now I'll always remember that darshan that I did receive. Because how Balaji treated me. No, you wait. If you want to see me, you wait. You wait here. You feel that segregation from your God brothers. If you want my darshan, I'll always remember that darshan now as a special thing because of the difficulty that was associated with getting it. And so I realized that actually that was a lot of mercy that I received from Balaji in getting his darshan. But the mind makes us struggle to remember that, and we always go back between thinking that, oh, I wasn't treated properly, this person disrespected me. Sometimes thinking like that, sometimes realizing the mercy of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhurya Kandambini explains that that's a stage of the process of devotional service. We're unsteady. Sometimes we're thinking, I'm an advanced devotee. Sometimes we're thinking, well, I'm so fallen. Going back and forth like this. I experienced that. Going back and forth. Going back and forth. And we can take comfort in the word of the acharyas that, okay, well, understand, this is the stage you're at in devotional service. And that will pass as you advance in devotional service. But to make it pass, you have to take these two tracks. You have to become absorbed in the holy name, as His Holiness Kabachandra Maharaj was explaining, in preaching the holy name of the Lord. And you have to purify yourself by the process of deity worship. Not just taking darshan, but serving the Lord. Because actually, darshan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a very rare, very, very rare thing. When we left Tirupati, I got the fortune of traveling with His Holiness Ramana Swami to Chennai, and we went to see the new temple, ISKCON temple there in Chennai. And Bhakti Chiru Swami, His Holiness Bhakti Chiru Swami, was with us, and he gave a talk to the devotees there, and he was explaining about deity worship. Again, we tend to think that I'll just go to Jaipur, to Motiwala Street, and I will purchase a deity there, and I'll, not deity, murti. He was giving a distinction between murti and deity. I'll purchase a murti there, and then I'll worship that murti. Again, as if we could do that. No, it doesn't happen like that. Actually, the deity, the form of the deity, is described in the Shastra. And it's fashioned by an artisan, exactly as it's described in the Shastra. And then there's the Prangpratistha, the installation of the deity, where brahmanas come, mantras are invoked, various rituals are performed to welcome the deity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, into that form. And so by the Lord's own mercy, he enters that form. Not by the carver's expertise, or necessarily the ritualistic activities which are performed to invoke the deity, but by devotion. The pure devotee's devotion attracts the Lord, and he manifests as the deity. And therefore we can approach for darshan. But, so it's rare. It's rare that all those things fall in place where you can have an opportunity to have genuine, bona fide darshan of the Supreme Lord in his deity form. And most often, you don't get the mercy that all of us receive on a daily basis. We were staying with one gentleman there in Chennai, and he was explaining to me that Chennai is a city of a population of about 7-8 million people. And he said basically there are about 5 Radha Krishna temples there. Most of the temples are of Lord Shiva, Lord Ramachandra, various demigods. So in those temples you can go and you can have darshan. But darshan of Shishu Radha and Krishna is rare, even just by the numbers of temples that are there. When you consider that the deity is non-different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the activities the deity is performing are also rare, especially when we speak about Shishu Radha and Krishna. We find deities of Lakshmi Narayan, where the Lord is in his majestic aspect, where he's worshipped with awe and veneration. That type of worship is more prominent than the worship of Shishi Radha and Krishna, Shishi Radha and Gopi, Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishakha. This deity form that we have the opportunity to have darshan right now is rare, because this form of the Lord, the Lord's most intimate pastimes as displayed here, is very rare to achieve. It's very rare to achieve. Most people won't get that. What is the most popular deity here in Mumbai? What? Ganesh. I remember also many years ago I visited one temple of Mumbai Devi or something. Mahalakshmi. So lakhs and lakhs of people are going there. Of course, lakhs and lakhs of people are coming here too. But this darshan of Shishu Radha Gopinath dancing so strikingly, dancing Srimati Radharani and Shishu Gopinath dancing so distinctively with Lalita and Vishakha offering service is a very, very rare darshan, because this understanding, this most confidential understanding of the most intimate pastimes of the Lord, is a very, very rare darshan. So we can come here to ISKCON Chaupati, walk up the stairs and have the darshan. But let's not take it cheaply what that darshan actually is. First of all, that we can actually get darshan, as I explained before. And that the darshan we get is such an intimate pastime, intimate understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we're very, very, very fortunate. And as His Holiness Kabir Chandramar said, our goal should be to make others receive this fortune, because it's only once in the day of Brahma that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming just to give us this darshan. Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji, Lalita and Vishakha, engaging in their wonderful pastimes here. What to speak of, we think, when on tomorrow evening, I think it's tomorrow evening, the Sarat Purnima darshan. That's also rare. Once a year, such a darshan is given here. But we should understand how rare it is. Not just that it's once a year here, but that it's once in the day of Brahma that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, that He reveals this most confidential nature of the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji, and that that's celebrated so nicely on one day. It's a very, very sacred and special occasion. So we shouldn't let the routine of life make us think in ordinary ways about our lives or the mercy that we receive. That's the purpose of this Pancharatrikavidhi path. The two going together, Pancharatrikavidhi and Bhagavatvidhi. So these are some thoughts I had about this, and I believe there may be some other speakers, so I won't take any more time this evening. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
One point also, darshan means seeing. Krishna sees us. Not that we just see Him. He sees us, and He sees if we have tilak, if we're dancing, if we're chanting. He's noticing all those things. You know, He knows more than just what we look like also, but he knows everything. So it's a very rare opportunity if we can take advantage of it. I once went to an exhibition in New York City. It was called Darshan, Introduction to Hinduism or something. It was going around the world, a huge, huge exhibition in the Metropolitan Museum of Natural History or something. So they had a thing about Darshan, and they were interviewing many Hindus in front of their little home altar. And all of them were, you know, they had a professor and a rich businessman and a doctor, and all of them said, the statue is not God. It's just something else, you know, that God is something beyond that, that this is a way to focus the mind or something to, so that's not exactly our, that Krishna is, the deity is Krishna, absolutely. Krishna in every way. We read about, you know, great devotees. Prabhupada sometimes are talking to the deity. Devotees notice that. Actually talking. But it's Krishna. And when Prabhupada installed the Radha and Krishna in L.A., I think that was the first ones, he started to talk about it, and he said, you're dealing with Krishna. He said, be very, very careful. You know, he was crying. And of course, he was very pleased how that when he installed Radha Krishna in Sydney, Australia. When he left, he said, "I'm leaving you in the hands of the Malechas. I'm sorry." But when he came back, he was, at that time, nobody knew how he even make a chapati or anything, and they just initiated a bunch of brahmanas. They didn't know what a brahman was. But when he came back, and they had made everything really nice, and he was very, very happy. It's a great miracle what he did to get the Malechas doing deity worship and recognizing this as Krishna and maintaining this and building temples and bringing people. It's an amazing thing. Jai. Who's next? Radhana Swami. But everybody came for Radhana Swami, actually, so. Where is Virbaha Prabhu? Is he here? Yeah. Maybe he's not coming. Again, thank you very much, Sesha Prabhu, reminding us of the two tracks. Parallel line.
Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalay Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Hastajate Satharine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gauravakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bancha kalpatarubhyascha, kripasindubhya evacha, atithanam bhavanibhyo, vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. I am so grateful to have these two very dear, exalted God brothers with us today. I'm remembering some years ago, I was in Germany giving some lectures, meeting people, leading kirtans. I was told that His Holiness Kavi Chandra Swami Maharaj was in a hospital in critical condition and that he had been unconscious for several days. While he was in Africa doing his seva, because he has taken serious responsibilities in Africa, especially since His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was taken by Prabhupada and Krishna from this world. He has tried with all his heart to serve the mission and the devotees there. And I believe it's mostly Western Africa. Ghana, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Liberia, not there? Okay. Well, those places. But for a Western person, it's very difficult. And he, somehow or other, he was struck with a deadly form of malaria, the type of malaria that goes to your brain. And many, many people die of that malaria. So he was in critical condition. And nobody knew if he would live or die. So I went to the hospital to see him. Just so happened, by Krishna's grace, I didn't even know he was sick, because I don't do internet so much. I was just doing whatever I do, and they told me he was sick,
So I was very disturbed. He got this malaria from Africa. And I was praying for him. And I said, where is he? They said, he's in a hospital just a couple miles away. In the whole world. So I went there and I was at his bedside and I was chanting and praying and he was unconscious. And by some beautiful blessing, suddenly he opened his eyes. And he looked up at me and immediately spoke. Within seconds, he opened his eyes, and a couple of devotees who were around me were very much shocked because he was unconscious. And with great sincerity, he expressed to me how we have to, what were the words he said? He said, it's so important that we work together to give Prabhupada's books to the people of Africa.
My memory was that Radhana Swami pulled me out from the coma. Whatever I said, I don't know. Because a few times I had kind of come up and the devotees were around and they all looked in so much anxiety. But he didn't. I looked at him and he looked completely transcendental. That's what I remember. My memory was really mixed up. I thought Prithu was there at the same time, but he was there the day before or something. It was like hard to get it straight.
They told me it was the first time you came to consciousness.
The first time I said anything, that's for sure. I might have just opened my eyes for a few seconds.
But in reality, the words he spoke actually took me out of my coma. You see, when you say something like that, just after, you know, being in this near-death situation, unconscious in a coma, it's not that you can plan it or rehearse it, that I will say something, you know. It's just from his heart. That's his consciousness, his first words. You know, for some people, they would say, I'm not going back to Africa again. His first thought, not only his first words, his first thought, after being in a coma for so many days, was we should go back to Africa to give Prabhupada's books to these people. This is the type of spirit of compassion that Srila Prabhupada installed within the hearts of his loving followers. And Kavi Chandra Maharaj is such a person. We're so grateful that you are here. Let us express our deep appreciation by loudly chanting Hari Bol. And my dear godbrother Shesha Prabhu is such a dear friend. I could speak so much too about this, but I remember meeting him when he was the temple president of Philadelphia. and his hospitality, his kindness, his graciousness. He's performed so many services over the years. But I'd like to focus on his present service. He lives in the largest devotee community in the Western world. It's called New Ramanreti, which is close to a small town called Alachua in Florida. And there he has a nice little house and such a wonderful family. Raising children in America is not an easy thing as a devotee, because there are so many influences everywhere. For that matter, raising children in Mumbai is also quite a challenge. For that matter, raising children on the planet Earth is very difficult, very great challenge. And for that matter, raising children practically anywhere in the universe in Kali Yuga is a great challenge. But his family is just so totally, just what he is, his whole family is. Sweet, always respectful, humble, deeply, deeply devoted to Krishna. When he speaks about deity worship, he's speaking with realization. He has Govardhan Shila and beautiful deities in his home. And his whole family, they serve together those deities, those murtis. It's very simple, but very beautiful, very devotional. Their whole home is just a place to host others, to serve the Lord and to serve the Vaishnavas. And his two daughters have totally imbibed that spirit. His good wife is just full of enthusiasm to serve. And it's just, when you go to his house, you're not in Kali Yuga anymore. You're not in America anymore. You're not on the Earth planet anymore. You're not in the universe anymore. When you go to his house, you're in Goloka Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one beautiful song, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu, he describes how when he comes home to his home to be with his family, he sees that his home is transformed and non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada explained, when a husband and wife are united with Krishna in the center of their relationship, then the home is non-different than Vaikuntha. It's not only non-different than Vaikuntha. Prabhupada said it is Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Vaikuntha means a place of no anxiety. I can't imagine a family without anxiety. And I'm sure if we speak to Shesha Prabhu or his wife or children, they will tell you there's so many anxieties. Yes. But it's a different kind of anxiety. Vaikuntha means no material, selfish anxieties. The anxiety of the challenges that come in the service to Krishna are actually transcendental. You see, between any relationships, for any of us, whether we're living in the brahmacharya ashram or whether we're sannyasis sitting at the GBC meeting or whether we're grihastas, there's going to be natural clashes between individuals, challenges in relationship. When we are sincere to resolve that in such a way that's Krishna conscious, What does Krishna want? Even if there's troubles, even if there's anxiety, if there's crises, if the way we deal with that crisis is, what does Krishna want? What does Srila Prabhupada want? And somehow or other we agree to resolve situations with that formula, then that anxiety is Vaikuntha. That anxiety is actually removing us from material anxiety, because it's an anxiety to serve Krishna. As far as family life, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, who's the crest jewel of sannyasis, Goswami, he writes that Yashoda Mai and Rohini Devi Mai, the mother of Krishna and Shibalaramji, that they were constantly in the anxiety of trying to protect Krishna and Balaram. It's not that, you know, they would wake up in the morning, Om Shanti. They were beyond that. They, Krishna and Balaram, were so naughty. They were the best children you could possibly have. The supreme children. Because they were so expert at increasing their parents' love by putting them in anxiety. They would go, and the gopis would come and complain, they're stealing our butter, they're stealing our yogurt, they're stealing our ghee, they're stealing so many things, they're putting water in our children's ears and making them cry, they're passing urine on the floor of our temple room. How are they going to grow up properly when they're just doing all these wild things? And they'd see them crawling around, Krishna and Balaram, and Sukadeva Goswami said they were afraid that they might get hit by the horn of a bull or stepped on by the hoof of a cow or bit by dogs or scratched by monkeys or bit by mosquitoes. Yes? Whatever it may be. You know, they were always in anxiety. And little Lord Chaitanya, he was Nimai Pandit. Oh, what he did. His loving parents, Nanda and Yashoda, came in the form of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. And Nimai, he's just a little baby, hardly walking, and he crawls over to a giant serpent and grabs him. The serpent's trying to get away, and he grabs him. And then the serpent curls up, and Nimai lays on the coils of a giant venomous snake. Now, mother and fathers, you have a little baby still crawling around. You go on your front lawn. I don't know if you have lawns so much in Mumbai. You go to the front of your house and you see a giant, venomous, black-colored snake in a coil. Its tongue is going... And you see your baby laying in the coil, smiling. What do? Om Shanti. That's not the nature of a mother's love. They were in total... Sachi Devi, Jagannath Mishra, all the relatives were in total anxiety. But that anxiety is Vaikuntha. Because it's about Krishna. It's not about, you know, their frustrated own expectations and desires, which is the anxiety of this world. It's about protecting Krishna, loving Krishna. And Krishna appears, as Shesha Prabhu has explained, in the form of a deity, especially to put us in anxiety. And that anxiety is the supreme peace. Because, you know, now Radharani, Krishna, Gopinath, they have personally, directly appeared. They're not representations of Krishna. Somebody once challenged Srila Prabhupada, if Krishna is unlimited, how could he be in this limited form? Prabhupada's response, if Krishna is unlimited, why are you trying to limit him to this little limited form? And Prabhupada's response is, if Krishna is unlimited, why are you trying to limit him by saying he can't be in this form? It's a reality. Krishna is the creator of the whole material energy. Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate. So if Krishna wants, he could fully manifest in any part of his energy. Shalagram Shima, apparently little stone in the bottom of the Gandaki River. Yes, Krishna, he's created the stone, it's his energy, he can manifest in that energy. It's like these light bulbs. There's an electrical current. The light bulb itself is just a material thing. But when electricity comes into it, it gives light. It is light. The sun planets, the energy of the sun planet is actually manifesting directly in this light. So similarly, an object, if Krishna decides by his own desire to manifest within a form, whatever that may be, that form is Krishna. And Krishna accepts the form to accept our service. And that means to protect. That means to feed. That means to dress. That means to bathe. That means to pray. And sometimes if you go into the little kitchen where our ladies of congregation do the bhog offerings, or the big kitchen where the brahmacharis and others are doing very large offerings, sometimes there's anxieties there. Anxiety about the time, anxiety about so many, you know, things not working properly, or anxiety about things burning. Yes. And you're trying the best you can to cook, you know, for a couple thousand people, 2,000-3,000 people for the Sunday program, and 10 minutes before the offering, it burns. What do you do? I remember once there was a festival in America where all the leaders and 1,000 devotees came. It was a big, big festival. And it was Ekadasi. And one of my dear friends was the head cook. He was cooking everything in giant quantities, thousands of people, giant quantity. And it was basically, because it was Ekadasi, they were making one really big preparation. So they didn't have the funds to make a lot of things. They were making one gigantic sabji. And it took about 6 hours to make this sabji. And now it's just minutes before the offering, then there's aarti, then everyone's going to be eating. Because it was a half-day fast, too. And everybody was really hungry. Do you like this story so far? Gets better. So the head cook, you know, says to somebody who's helping him, you know, I have to like get the tulsi leaves and all of that, whatever. So could you stir this pot?
So he's stirring the pot, and he's just looking at it, and he's seeing these massive sabji. It's the only preparation I think there was, a massive sabji. Everybody's hungry waiting outside, and he's stirring it. So he just decided, you know, I could do better than just stirring. There must be something else I can do. He's a Brahmin, too. He said, you know, this sabji needs some more color. So he happened to go in the refrigerator and saw this massive bag of peas. And he poured all the peas in the sabji. Then the head cook came back. He was on the verge of being like Kavi Chandra Swami. He practically went into a coma. Meanwhile, the person was gone by the time he saw it. You know, he just peas in the sabji. And, you know, somehow or other, you know, Ekadasi, you're not supposed to eat grains or beans. So I guess he thought grains or beans, but these are peas. He asked the person, why did you do this? He said, what do you mean? So it has more color, it'll have more flavor. He says, Ekadasi, you ruined it. He said, no, it's not. He said, Ekadasi is grains and beans, these are peas. There was no time to cook anything else. Everyone else was starving. No, we're talking about in America now. There was serious anxiety. And the head cook was responsible for everything. And there was no more sabjis. They used everything they had. And they're in the middle of nowhere. So what are you supposed to do? He was in terrible anxiety. I remember he came up to me and told me, so what do you think I should do? I said, I'm just a junior person here. You should ask one of the leaders. He said, but I'm afraid to ask the leaders. The leaders have the power to crush me. I said, no. I don't know. So what he did was quite controversial. Would you like to hear? It was quite a historical event. Anyone who was there will never forget it. Because it was time for the prasad to be served. They had everybody, about 1,000, more than 1,000 devotees sitting, and before the server served it, they told everybody, that's Ekadasi. And your duty is, before you eat, you have to take every pea out of your sabji. I never saw anything like this. You know, everybody, they're coming with the ladle and they're putting, and all the servers were telling everybody, because it's already announced, but they're reminding, don't eat a single pea. If you eat a single pea, you know, you're going to make a great aparad. And the sabji was really hot, because it just came out of the pots, and they were like, and there was no spoons or forks in those days, so people with their hands, they're like going... And everybody, they said, save the peas till tomorrow. Because not only is it an offense to break a codicil, but it's an offense to waste prasad. So they were like, they had a little peas in the pile, and it took about
15 minutes before anyone could start. Because they were really afraid there might be a pee in there. So, anxiety. And all they're doing is trying to do devotional service. In this world, there are challenges. So in grihastha life, anxieties will be there. In every aspect of life. But when we put Krishna in the center, putting Krishna in the center means the deities are the proprietors of our house. And we're all the servants and the maidservants. And to the degree we respect and honor each other as Krishna's devotees, not that you have to be what I want you to be, that's putting yourself in the center. Rather, I have to be what Krishna wants me to be. And that means I'm forgiving, I'm tolerant, I'm exemplary in my own sadhana, and I care about all of you because you're Krishna's children under my care. That's what it means to put Krishna in the center of a house. And when we do that, the house is Vaikuntha. And Shesha Prabhu is one of, in my own observation, he's one of the greatest inspirations of this very divine principle. His good wife, Marumati Devi, and his two daughters. And every year I try to go to their home to. He has me give lectures. But actually, you know, even though his family doesn't speak so much lecture, when I'm there, I'm the one that's giving lecture. Their actions are such a wonderful lecture. Saint Francis of Assisi, he had said that a devotee should always be preaching, and when necessary, should say something. What does that mean? The greatest preaching is by example. When Sanatana Goswami was speaking about, I believe, Haridas Thakur, he said, some people speak nicely, and some people act nicely, but it's very rare to find somebody who speaks nicely and also acts nicely. So these two great personalities, such an exemplary sannyasi in the renounced order, such an exemplary grihastha, the householder order, let us offer our gratitude to Shesha Prabhu by loudly chanting. And we also have somewhere here my dear, very dear godbrother, Virabahu Prabhu, and his very exalted wife, Karta Mataji. Are either of them here? They're somewhere. But I think it's the first time they've ever come to Radha Gopinath Temple. They are both very deeply learned in our philosophy, extraordinarily exemplary as preachers, as just through their qualities, through their words, and have taken on tremendous responsibilities as a husband and wife. And I'm so grateful they're here. I would speak so much more if I could see them, but if they hear somehow or other, let us welcome them by chanting. Yeah.
And of course, our dear god sister Nartaki Devi, who no need for me to say, because you all know as good as me. So blessed that she's part of our family here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We will have kirtan.